Welcome back to the Pride of Detroit podcast. We are back here for another week. We are just under 2 weeks until the NFL draft. And as you may notice, I am not the adequate host, Chris Perfett. This is Jeremy Reisman. I'm the managing editor for Pride of Detroit, and I will be your host this week while Chris gets his schooling on. He'll be back soon. He'll be the one editing this podcast, so he's still part of us. He's still part of the program here. He's still with us. Don't worry, we haven't gotten rid of him that easily, but we have an episode to take care of here, and we're going to have a very special episode. We're going to talk a lot of draft. We're going to talk a little bit of extra stuff, too, and we got a couple extra guests, but before we get to that, let's welcome in our mainstay for the podcast, our guy with almost the perfect record, but not quite. Ryan Matthews is with us. Ryan, how are you doing today? Back is the motherfucking rock guy. Awesome. Not so well. Ryan has gone missing.
He's off to a fast start, guys.
Well, we're just going to skip over him then, because you just heard another voice of maybe someone you recognize, someone who's been on the podcast every now and then, probably not as much as we'd like, not as much as he'd like, and probably not as much as the listeners like. But Jerry Mallory is with us today. Jerry, how are you doing?
Just kidding. What's up, guys?
You had me going. Thanks for joining us again, Jerry. Like I said, we love it when you're here. We're glad you're here with us. We're going to be talking a lot of draft. We need some fresh ideas here, and I know you got some, so appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me, as always.
But no problem. And then we also have another host. We got a foursome today, a full Fortnite squad, if you will. Hey. We got Alex Reno with us. Alex, how's it going, buddy?
It's good to be back.
Hey, what did I miss?
Oh, we just intro'd you, and you totally missed your cue, so perfect.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry, I was dropping at shifty shafts.
I believe it. That sounds like innuendo, but whatever. Anyways, let's get to our first topic. Like I said, we're going to be talking a lot of draft, but this first segment, we are going to be talking about some other stuff. And the thing that I wanted to talk about the most here is a little tweet that went kind of viral on Lions Twitter this weekend. It got people a whole bunch upset. We have this guy. His name on Twitter is @BrickWallBlitz. His background is he's kind of a charter in terms like a play charter. He really focuses on deep ball passes. And he went off on this Twitter stream on, I think it was Saturday or it might have been Sunday, talking about Marvin Jones and how great of a season he had last year and maybe one of the most underrated wide receivers. Of course, that's not what Lions fans focused on, because also in that tweet stream, he had to throw in a couple jabs on Matthew Stafford. And I think the one that got most people upset was this one where he says, quote, "Outside of Detroit, it's widely accepted that Calvin Johnson was carrying Stafford. And I'm willing to argue Jones is doing the same." All right, guys, just go at him. His name's Johnny Kinsley. Any one of you has the floor, lay into him.
For what, man? Like, why are people so mad about this guy? Like, who cares what's his name? Johnny Kinsley? I don't care what he thinks. It's false. I mean, Marvin Jones definitely had a good year. Marvin Jones is an underrated receiver. You know, he absolutely embarrassed Xavier Rhodes, I think, two games this year, at least one for sure. So I'm all for the Marvin Jones praise. But when he comes to saying Stafford, I mean, seriously, there's 14 quarterbacks better than Stafford. I don't know why people are so mad about it. When I saw it, I just, you know, kind of brushed it off, man. That guy's opinion doesn't matter that much to me. Lions fans, Lions Twitter, please don't let this guy, I'm going to use a phrase from back in the day, don't let this guy get your goat, man. It just doesn't matter what he thinks. I don't think anybody of worth or consequence put Stafford in the top 15. Probably at worst, just outside the top 10. But yeah, there's no way possible is he 14 guys better than him. Come on.
All right. Let me ask you a quick question, though, Jerry. Where would you rank Matthew Stafford in terms of deep ball throwing? Because this is where this guy specializes when it comes to watching football, because apparently he charts every deep throw in the NFL. Where would you have Matthew Stafford as a deep ball thrower?
I don't know, man. I don't look at quarterbacks like that. I don't look at like one specific aspect of their game. Now, I will say Stafford has a, you know, a nice arm, but sometimes his deep throws, now that you mentioned that, sometimes his deep throws aren't as accurate as I would like, but I mean, that's one facet of his game. He does so many other things well, but if we're just talking about the deep ball, I think it's not, to be honest, not as good as some people would assume because of his arm strength.
That's fair. So this guy has Matthew Stafford as 27th out of 35 quarterbacks throwing the deep ball, which I think is insane. This guy starts off the thread saying, or I think it maybe was halfway through, saying that Jones was carrying him, and he highlights a throw where it was a perfect back shoulder pass. So clearly this guy doesn't even really know what he's talking about or what he's watching. I don't want to like jump too far down this guy's throat and just like hammer into him, because like Jerry said, like, who really cares? It's just some random Minnesota Vikings writer. It's not that big of a deal.
He's a Vikings writer.
Yeah. So I mean, that's even more of a reason why he would say something so stupid like that. I just
like to
completely disagree, but it's whatever.
I think part of the frustration with Lions fans is they feel like they've been defending Stafford for basically all, 9-10 years of his career now, even against fellow Lions fans, right? Like, it's just now that I think a deep majority of Lions fans are in Stafford's corner, but it took a while. And so I think the fact that there's even one guy still out there that's defecting is frustrating to some people. But, I mean, I don't want to say I came to the guy's defense, because I don't agree at all with his suggestion that Jones is carrying Matthew Stafford, because that's ridiculous. Right. And Jones didn't even have a very good first year with the Lions, and Stafford still had a phenomenal year in 2016. So I'm not going to say that, but I do think that, like Jerry kind of hinted at there, he's not a very accurate quarterback. I mean, his completion percentage is continually going up, and I think that has more to do with decision making than accuracy. But I think Matthew Stafford is still the kind of quarterback, more so than the league average, will make a lot of frustrating throws in the game, and they tend to be early in the game. You know, we talk a lot about how Stafford is slow to start games, and the Lions offense is slow to start games. We had a bunch of stats, I think, this year, the year before, where the Lions are going three and out a bunch in the first drive of the game, or they haven't scored in the first quarter, or all those sort of things. And I think part of that is Stafford's inaccuracies early in games. So I think Lions fans tend to be a little sensitive when it comes to Stafford, and so that's why a small tweet like this blows up. And Johnny Kinsley's definitely exaggerated a lot of things here. And like Reno said, some of his criticism were inaccurate. You know, he's throwing away from the deep safety in some of these passes so that his receiver doesn't get laid out, or is doing a back shoulder instead of hitting him in stride.
I think it's completely ironic that he's a Vikings fan and he's talking about a quarterback getting carried too.
Right.
When he had Case Keenum getting completely carried by Thielen and Diggs, two of the best receivers in the league last year.
It's true. It's true.
One more point, too. I think, you know, when I kind of talked about Stafford's deep ball, sometimes it isn't the best. I've seen some throws where it's like, you know, I wish he hit guys a little bit better. You know, for me, a lot of times some of the most successful deep balls are thrown on the play action. So I think that plays a role, too. You know, when teams don't respect our run, we don't have that much success on play action. So that probably plays a role as well as to why his deep ball isn't as effective. You look at some of the most effective deep ball guys, they have respectable run games where the play action actually works.
And they have time, right? Aaron Rodgers can stand back there for hours, it seems, sometimes on end. Ryan, are you still with us? Do you want to get in on this conversation?
Yeah, I was just kind of waiting for a way to plug myself into the conversation. But I think a really interesting thing is that even PFF, according to their statistics for play action passer rating, Matthew Stafford was third in the league behind Marcus Mariota and Kirk Cousins. So, I mean, if we're talking about anybody making, you know, chicken salad out of chicken, you know what, like it's Matthew Stafford. So remind me, Jeremy, remember it was earlier in the season, and I think it was after the Minnesota game, the first one, where we were talking about Marvin Jones, or maybe it was after the Carolina game, but we were talking about Marvin Jones, like, and trying to figure out a scenario in which maybe the Lions can cut him and how much money they'd be on the hook for. He was struggling to begin the season, and that's kind of been the tale of the tape for Marvin Jones. Is like, if you want to talk about anybody who's had some inconsistencies, and trust me, I'm fully in Marvin Jones camp here at this point, but there was a point in time, like during both his first season and his second season, where Marvin Jones would just disappear for games at a time. Like Arizona, he had two catches, one for a touchdown. The next week against the Giants, he had that one catch for the touchdown. And, you know, then it was three catches for 24 yards against Atlanta, two catches for 42 yards against Minnesota.
Yeah, you know, so we're talking eight catches in the Lions' 3-1 start last year.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, I totally agree though with Jerry. Like, I mean, I'm not going to lose sleep over some Twitter guy's opinion of Matthew Stafford, because I think that I think that from the contracts that we've seen thrown out to like Jimmy Garoppolo and Kirk Cousins over the summer or over this offseason, that we realize Matthew Stafford's worth in the NFL.
Exactly. Hey, real quick, guys, when, you know, we're giving praise to Marvin Jones, would you not agree that Odell Beckham Jr., Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, we would all pretty much agree that as good as Marvin Jones is, those guys are on another level. They're better, right? So if those guys are better than Marvin Jones, why do their quarterbacks not look as good since Jones is carrying Stafford? Like, especially over there in Houston. You got a guy like Hopkins that's just amazing, but their quarterback play overall is still horrible. So, I mean, it just doesn't fit to where one receiver would change that much of a quarterback's worth. It just right. doesn't add up.
I mean, we can just look back to Calvin Johnson pre-Matthew Stafford, right? He wasn't carrying the quarterback that came before Stafford.
Exactly.
That's not really how it works. All right, let's go from one wide receiver to another. Let's talk about Golden Tate, because Jarvis Landry last week, I don't know if it's official yet or not, but reportedly getting a 5-year, $75.5 million extension. And Golden Tate caught wind of this and tweeted out, "Get your money," and also followed it up with a George Burns, not George Burns, Mr. Burns, excellent twiddling of the fingers. I'm going to start with you, Jerry. Is this Golden Tate's last year in Detroit?
It's over, man. He's gone. He's out of here. You know, this time last year, or at some point last year in the offseason, I was hoping that Golden Tate would have a contract similar to Julian Edelman. I think Edelman signed like a 2-year deal, like $13 million or something. And their stats are kind of comparable, you know, 90 catches or so, you know, yards and whatnot. That was like my dream scenario. Like, hopefully Golden Tate can sign a similar deal, 2-3-year extension, you know, $20 million, even $25 million. But yeah, it's over, man. He's gone. Now, he won't get as much as Jarvis Landry because Landry's a little bit younger. I think Landry's 25. Golden Tate is 29. So, you know, you probably do have to factor in his age. But at this point, and it's not just Landry, it's Sammy Watkins and, you know, a host of other guys getting these huge contracts. Allen Robinson, you know, he's head and shoulders better than all of these guys, despite being older. So, yeah, it's over, man. I don't think we're going to have the money to bring him back. It's going to be north of $12 million or so, in my opinion. And so just enjoy him this year. He was probably one of the most underrated signings when he came here. He was one of those guys where it's like, you always talk about a player and you say, well, he wasn't used that much on this team. So hopefully, you know, we say that about so many guys and it usually doesn't pan out. He was the exception. He was the guy where he was underutilized on the team. He did get a bigger role and he took advantage of it. I love Golden Tate, man.
Rito, you agree?
I agree with a lot of what Jerry said. I agree that he's gone, and I think that's going to be very sad because I love Golden Tate as a player and a person. I don't think he's going to get as long term of a deal as Jarvis Landry because he's old, but I just have a feeling he's going to make a little even more than that because I don't think Landry's even that good, and I think he's a slot receiver only. I mean, I can't believe he's making that much money, honestly.
Well, I was looking in the stats. I was shocked by him. Since he's come in the league, he's third in the league in receptions behind Antonio Brown and one other guy.
Right. I think he led the league in receptions and didn't even have 1,000 yards last year. Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, that's an insane statistic. Like, I don't think – I mean, Jarvis Landry is a pretty good receiver. I don't think he is worth that money. I think – Golden Tate is definitely going to get his money just because of that deal. He might even get a larger per year deal. I think he's gone.
I don't think we can afford him.
It's a tricky situation, right? Because you are kind of hoping he takes some sort of hometown discount. I don't think anything in the Julian Edelman 2-year, $11 million contract is going to happen. But Golden Tate's been talking about this extension for a while now. He talked about it last offseason. He's talked about it this offseason. He's obviously paying attention to the market out there. It's pretty clear he wants to get his money. And I don't, like you guys said, I don't know if anything under $14 million is really going to happen. And I put out a question today on Pride of Detroit. The question of the day was, what's your limit? What's your cap on what you would pay Golden Tate if you were the Lions? And to me, it's $10 or $11 million a year. And maybe he takes a 3-year $30 million contract, 3-year $33 million contract. I kind of doubt it. Ryan, I'll throw the question to you. One, do you think Golden Tate is done in Detroit after 2018? And two, what's your limit? Let's go on a per average per year limit.
Yeah, it's so unfortunate because, and I think you mentioned this in your question of the day, but you talked about how if Golden Tate does move on, like that's just going to take the Lions, it's going to take them like an entire offseason, I feel like, to restructure their offense because he's such an important piece of their offense. So I would hate to see him go. With that being said, Jarvis Landry completely priced out Golden Tate for the Detroit Lions, like totally, completely. Like there's no chance. And part of me, though, with the Jarvis Landry contract, part of me wants to say, well, that's the Browns being the Browns. Like they traded what they traded to get Landry, and they're going to spend money to keep him because they obviously find him valuable. Now, I mean, we talked about like, you know, leading the league in receptions, but having like less than 1,000 yards. His depth of target is ridiculous in terms of how shallow it is, but Golden Tate has been just such a valuable receiver, and to see him go, it's going to be a problem. I think that you can't pay any more than probably $9 million a season for Golden Tate, realistically, just because I think there are so many other needs on this team, and you have to start thinking about, I mean, like maybe like a Taylor Decker extension isn't like too far in the future. I mean, like after like next season, you just have to start thinking about some of these other things that are going to be happening on the Lions roster, where spending, you know, in excess of like $10 million a year on a receiver who's 30 years old, whose best attribute is being able to catch the ball and run with it afterwards. And it's a heavy investment, to say the least, I think.
All right. We're kind of running up against the break here, but let me get one last point in here, since we all seem to be in agreement. One argument I think for spending a load of cash on Golden Tate is that they aren't spending a lot on the position elsewhere right now. We got Marvin Jones on a pretty fair deal. He's only got 8.1 million cap hits in the next 2 years.
And he makes Stafford, so we need to keep him.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously Kenny Galladay is going to be still on his rookie deal for a couple more years. Let's say the Lions throw out a short 2-year deal for Golden Tate. That way they don't have to worry about a Taylor Decker extension. They really don't have a lot of other big extensions they need to worry about. I mean, if they throw Golden Tate a contract there, it's not like they're going to be spending an exorbitant amount on the wide receiver position compared to the league average.
So, are you thinking in the neighborhood? I mean, if they offer him something like 2 years,
2 years, $30 million,
2 years, $30 million. Ooh, that'd be sweet. I think maybe somewhere in the ballpark of like 2 years, like 24 or 25 million. Like maybe that might be reasonable.
I don't think he'd agree to that, but
I think that this is Golden Tate's last opportunity to quote unquote secure the bag. Like this is his last chance to get a big contract.
Right.
So I don't think he's gonna agree to anything that's short term. He wants the most guaranteed money that I think he can get with this contract. I think that's the most important part of the deal.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to end the conversation. We are going to move along to the draft. When we come back, we've got a little announcement to make. I think we're going to start off with that, and then we're going to get deep into the NFL draft with Reno, with Jerry, and of course, with Ryan. We'll be right back. All right, we are back on the PODcast, the Pride of Detroit podcast for your Detroit Lions. We are the SB Nation site for them, prideofdetroit.com. We are going to jump into the draft now because we are less than 2 weeks away. I've avoided it long enough. And finally, we have some people here with some knowledgeable takes on the draft outside of the boring takes that Ryan and I have just been giving back and forth and Chris has just been moderating with. But before we get into specific topics here, I kind of want to make an announcement that I teased in our last segment. We are doing it big for the NFL draft this year. We are getting pretty much the entire Pride of Detroit crew together in Detroit. And our plan is to basically live stream almost the entire thing. Definitely all 3 or 4 hours of the first draft. We're going to have our own conference room. We're going to have our own war room. We're going to have whiteboards and all sorts of fun stuff. We're going to be streaming it all live on Facebook Live. All four of us that are here right here are going to be here. And then we're also probably going to do it for day three. We're still trying to figure out day two. But if you want more of us, you're going to get plenty of it in about a week. Guys, how excited are you for this?
I'm excited. I'm very excited.
To quote,
a lot of drinking, a lot of screaming, a lot of good picks, I'm hoping. A lot of Nick Chubb.
Chubb for Chubb. Yeah, it should be fun, man. I'm very excited. To quote Jesse Spano from Saved by the Bell, let's all go to the max.
I like it. I still haven't met you in real life, Jerry. I think people still think we're the same person, too.
Yeah, I get called Jeremy. It's been a while, but I used to get Sean Ewell, and I definitely got a lot of Jeremy. Jeremy. I mean, we have the same exact voice. We look pretty much the same.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Same stature, same look, definitely. Absolutely.
Pretty easy. To,
same hair.
Yeah, pretty easy to confuse us. So.
Yeah. So we'll put out a post probably draft week, giving you more details. But if you're a fan of the podcast, which I'm guessing if you're listening, you are, definitely tune into Facebook that whole weekend. And if you don't want to listen to Mel Kiper or, you know, whoever is on NFL Network these days, just listen to us. We're going to be grading every pick. We're going to be giving our takes and watching along with you guys. So I'm excited about that. I think everyone's a little excited about it, except for maybe Ryan, but maybe we just won't open the doors for him.
Maybe we'll put Fortnite in the corner and then, gotta, you know.
I would be tickled pink. You've sold me now.
I am kind of toying with the idea of maybe doing a Lions Talk Twitch stream. Not during the draft, but like maybe a weekly Fortnite game where we just talk Lions and Twitch stream.
I want to do that. Nobody really cares about it though every time I mention it.
Well, if you're listening and that sounds like something you'd be interested in, either go into our Discord room, hit us up on Twitter, comment in our comment section. Just let
us
know.
Ask us questions directly.
Yeah, in our chat. I think it'd be a pretty cool idea, but maybe it'd just be more for us. We'll see. Anyways, let's go into the draft talk. We've teased it long enough. I think where I want to start this discussion is last week during the fan summit at Ford Field for all the season ticket holders, Bob Quinn said to the group there that their first round scouting has pretty much been whittled down to about 5 or 6 prospects. And let's go to Reno. Okay. I just want to put your best guess as to who these 5 or 6 guys that you think the Lions realistically have a shot at and would be a good fit.
All right. 5 or 6 players. I think I have a good idea. I think I came down to some pretty good names when I was doing our community mod for Pride of Detroit. I think definitely the 2 top guards that would be available, Hernandez and Wynn, are 2. I think Taven Bryan's going to be there. I think he kind of fits the explosive type defensive tackle that they need for a pass rushing defensive tackle. After that, like, I want to say Geist, but like, I really don't know if they're that focused on getting a running back. Definitely some good athletes there, probably a linebacker too, maybe Van Der Esch or even,
Shad.
Could be, or even maybe even the guy out of Georgia. What's his face? I can't remember off the top of my head right now. Lorenzo Carter.
Oh, Lorenzo. That's right. Yeah. A lot of people want him in the second round.
Roquan Smith. I mean, if he's there, obviously we'd have to just run that pick up to the board. Maybe even. Those are some good names though. I don't know.
You're not going to throw my guy in there just to make me feel good?
No. Oh, Davenport?
Yeah.
Davenport too. Let's just go with 8 names. So now we I'm going and I'm just changing shit up now.
Now we whittled it down to 8 prospects.
Well, it's so hard to tell. I don't know.
In your defense, Bob Quinn said that could change on a daily basis. So
it did.
It just did. Jerry, do you have a list? Do you agree with those names thrown his way?
Harold Landry, too. Sorry.
Oh, right. Harold Landry. But you're among the group that doesn't think he's going to be there, right?
I don't think he's going to be there, but it's kind of weirding me out that almost every mock draft has him available. I just don't see it happening.
All right, Jerry, your turn. Give me some names.
I got a few names. First, if we're talking about the draft, I don't know if anyone else agrees with me. I feel like Mel Kiper, it looks like is it armadillo or armadillo, whatever that animal it is. It looks like that's what's on top of his head. I'm convinced that's not here anymore. But anyway, I got some names. I got some of the usual ones, and I got two kind of wild cards. So, yeah, Harold Landry, I'm with Reno. I'm starting to think he won't be available. It's not a lot of, you know, defensive ends, edge, whatever you want to call them, available this draft. So I just don't think he makes it to 20. He's done nothing but impress, and all the measurables are there. So I don't think he'll be there, but, you know, he's probably high on their list. Taven Bryan, he might be there, possibly. I think it's a good chance. Isaiah Wynn, guard, Georgia. You got Darius Geist. And here's my two wild cards. Now, this is like disaster scenario. And all the guys we want are gone. For some reason, there's not as many quarterbacks being drafted as we expected. Maybe only like, I don't know, 3 or 4 guys at quarterback get drafted. So a lot of those names that we are thinking might be there, they get picked. You know, Landry's gone. And Brian's gone. Wynn's gone. Geist. I was kind of floating Hernandez out there, but I'm going to give you two other names of guys they might be considering. I'm going to go with Mo Hurst. Mm-hmm. You know, he might not fit the scheme, but I don't think we really know what Patricia's going to do. We know what he's done before. We kind of know what he liked in the New England system, but I'm not dead set on saying he needs a big guy, you know, a big defensive end. He likes two big nose tackle type guys. So, you know, Maurice Hurst, if the medical is there, everything clears. I know the guys at Pro Football Focus really love him. And then this other guy, I mentioned him a couple days ago to you guys. I think they like him. I wouldn't be crazy about this pick. This would be someone that if they could trade down, they would consider. But maybe even at 20, it's a bit of a stretch. So I'm just going to throw it out there. Disaster scenario, Justin Reed, safety from Stanford. I think they might address safety a little bit sooner than people are thinking. That spot is not as secure. I don't think Quinn is necessarily – too hard up on drafting guys that have to start year one. So, you know, 120 is kind of a stretch, but day two, I definitely could see it potentially happening, you know, rounds 2 or 3. But I'm going to throw that name out there. Justin Reed, safety from Stanford.
Okay. And you've hit on some of these kind of like wild names before, right? This isn't the first time you've thrown out a name like there. And then you were saying the other day, there was one guy you hit on that you just kind of threw out there, right?
I'm going to toot my own horn. I think I have a pretty good track record as far as, you know, guys the Lions like. I mean, it's simple. You look at the guys that they visit. You kind of look at needs. You look at different things. But last year on my podcast, my little claim to fame, I guaranteed they draft Michael Roberts in the 4th round. So when they did, I was happy. I mean, it's just a guess. But I've been right a few times on some of those, you know, I guess you call them semi-educated guesses. So something about Justin Reed, man. More so in round 2, realistically, but I'm just throwing a name out there.
Okay. Ryan, you got anyone to add to this list that maybe we didn't talk about?
I don't think I have anybody to necessarily add to the list, but I was going to talk about Justin Reed for a second, just because I don't know if they want to view him necessarily strictly as just a safety. I think obviously that's where he projects to play. And that's where he would play. I don't know if, you know, he is a guy who's like 6'1", a few pounds over 200. So maybe there's the potential that, you know, Patricia does like playing with like bigger slot corners. Maybe he's a guy who early on to, because I think if the Lions can try to justify picking a guy like Reed at 20, he needs to get enough playing time. And like Alex and I were talking about this on our little Fortnite session before the podcast, but like Reed, Reed would need to like get the snaps and get the playing time to justify a guy getting picked at 20. Because I think, like, you know, Jerry mentioned, like, it could be a disaster scenario if you pick a guy who is going to play essentially like the Miles Killebrew role in his first year. Like, and we know that Patricia loves playing a lot of defensive backs and having like a lot of three safety looks, at least in New England. So, I mean, if he plans on doing that here in Detroit, maybe they can justify taking Reed in the first round. We know that, you know, they've had private workouts with him and everything and things of that nature. I think that there is one extra name that I could float out there, and it's going to be James Daniels from Iowa, the center. I think that maybe he could sneak into the first round. His name has kind of been creeping up the draft board along with like Frank Ragnow from Arkansas. The possibility that they take him there. I mean, if things just don't fall right, like Jerry mentioned, you know, if there's only like two or three quarterbacks that come off the board and, you know, they start running with all these defensive players. I truly think that like interior lineman is maybe the most important position that the Lions need to pick up in the draft. You can definitely make the case that it's a defensive lineman, an edge rusher, or a penetrating three tech. And I would agree with you, but I think that people are kind of underselling the idea that the Lions would take a guard or a center at 20, because I think a lot of people are still kind of shooken up from the Lake and Tomlinson disaster that was. So,
right. And it's interesting you bring James Daniels up, because I was thinking about someone else who was firmly in the first round before the combine, and that's Billy Price. I really wouldn't be surprised to see teams go, well, you know, I know the pectoral injury might not have him ready by the beginning of the season, but this is a draft. We're talking about long-term builds. And so Billy Price, to me, is a name that I wouldn't be surprised at all to see sneak into the first round and maybe deep into the first round, you know, maybe into the 20s rather than the 30s.
The Lions do have a propensity for taking Ohio State and Big Ten offensive linemen. Bob Quinn does.
Some other names to throw around here that maybe we didn't cover. Is Vita Vey certainly gone by 20? Are we all in that camp right now?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he's probably gone, man. I mean, looks good on the field, and the measurables are, I mean, they're just crazy, man. If you look at how fast and athletic he is and how big he is, I mean, there's no way.
If you think about it, everybody's comparing him to Danny Shelton, which is a horrible comparison because he's way more athletic and a lot better than Danny Shelton. And Danny Shelton went pretty high.
Can we firmly take tight end off the board? Like, Gesicki's not getting 20? Picked that high. Yeah. I mean, you remember last year in Philly with me, Alex, like the entire time we're on the plane, I'm white knuckling it. Cause I'm thinking about David Njoku at 21. So
I do remember. All of us were, I mean, he was on the board then at 20 and we were all getting real nervous about it.
But can we take tight end off the board in the first round?
I hope so. I have no interest in going skills. I have no interest in going skill position, period.
Hey, I don't think there's Darius a chance.
Guys. I know you love Darius Reno, but no.
Yeah, no. You're right. There's too many other guys.
Back on Vita Vey for a second. I'm curious as to what you guys would have done. I participated in the Chat Sports mock draft, which just went off the wall bonkers because a fifth quarterback went off before the Lions pick. And I can't even remember the dude's name, but he went off the board before Lamar Jackson did. And I was faced with an interesting decision where Harold Landry and Vita Vey were still on the board at 20.
Ooh.
Easy?
What's the choice?
Harold Landry. I think defensive end is
a
more important need, and I think Harold Landry is a better player. I think he's an exceptional athlete. I think if the Lions were picking 10th, I would still take Harold Landry. I think he's that good.
Wow. I think I heard an affirmative out of you, Jerry. Are you of the same camp there?
Yep. Landry's the new Hassan Reddick, man. I think we got that intense, just a deep pride of Detroit love for this guy. And I love him, man. And the thing about Landry, too, you know, I guess you could say the same about Deron Payne, even though I'm not crazy about him. If they draft him, you know, the fact that, you know, some of our coaches have seen these guys, it makes you even more comfortable, you know, like Pasqualoni with the history there with Landry. So the fact that we have the connection there, as well as us liking them, it just makes me all that more comfortable if Landry's the guy.
Didn't Redick have a really bad year last year? I don't know if I like you saying that he's the new.
Somebody. I know. He was bad.
Not that they're comparable in any way, but like.
Yeah, Redick did not
look good. About Redick as a rookie, at least.
No, he looked pretty bad last year. He did.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You also mentioned Daron Payne there, a guy who I think is basically projected to be right around there at 20th overall, but I don't see a lot of Lions fans in his corner. Is he a bad fit there? Is he just not as exciting as some of these other interior defenders? Why do you guys think he's not a hot name on Lions fans' lips, so to say?
I think Vita Vey is the exception, a guy that is a nose tackle, but he is athletic enough to get after the quarterback. But after Vita Vey, or is it Vea, whatever, I'm always screwing up names. After Vita Vea, I think when it comes to defensive tackle, people want like a pure pass rushing, like a three-tech guy. That's why Taven Bryan's name's been talked about. Some people like Mo Hurst. Daron Payne has that skill set, but not to that extent. So Vay is the exception. He's so good and talented. People just would want him no matter if he's more of a nose tackle. But after that, I think the Lions fan, you know, we got A'shaun Robinson. We really want a pass rushing, a three-tech type of guy. And I don't think we really see that, you know, in Daron Payne.
Yeah, I don't think Payne is all that bad or anything. I just think there's better options. I don't think Payne really brings, because I'm really looking for more of a pass rushing defensive tackle. Because, like, I mean, we have two nose tackles that are going to start right now. At least everybody's talking about that. And A'shaun and Sylvester. I don't think Payne really has that burst off a snap, or, I mean, he tends to get, I guess, washed out of the play if he doesn't get a good jump, or like if his first pass rush move doesn't work. I like Payne, but I think I would much rather have Bryan or Vea or Hurst over him.
All right. I think that's a good place to cap it off for our first round talk. When we come back, we are going to go deep into day two, day three, talk about some of those sleeper picks that the Lions might be targeting later in the draft. So stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we are back here on the Pride of Detroit podcast. We are deep into our NFL draft preview. Now we're talking about some day two, day three guys. We all know the big names in the NFL draft, but I brought this whole team along to talk about some of the guys maybe you haven't heard of, or maybe some guys that you guys are crushing on as well. Let's start with day two, because I think the Lions are probably going to be looking to get two starters out of day two, maybe even three if they trade back and pick up an extra pick. So let me start with you, Reno. Who are some guys, maybe even just give me one or two, that you're interested to seeing the Lions target in day two or three? I think we're talking maybe a lot of people aren't interested in necessarily getting a running back in that first round. So maybe we're talking running back in these rounds. Maybe we're talking about other positions in need. Give me some guys that you're interested in these two rounds.
Day two, I've been so focused on running back. I don't think I even can talk about any other position right now, because all I can think about is Nick Chubb. I was going to say, no, I'm not even going to say that, but you can make so many jokes from Nick Chubb's name anyway. But
What? You can?
No,
I haven't heard
of it.
I mean, I've heard a lot of jokes about Bradley Chubb's name, but can you elaborate on the type of jokes you can make with Nick Chubb's name?
All right. Anyway, Nick Chubb is maybe, other than Darius Geis, he's probably my favorite fit for the Lions. I just think that the Lions have so many different receiving backs, so many different guys with third down value. They need a guy who knows what the hell he's looking at, somebody who's an efficient runner, somebody with good leg drive, somebody who can actually create for himself. I think Nick Chubb is that guy. Some other guys I like for round two or round three at running back is also Ronald Jones. I think he's very good. Kerryon Johnson, maybe. anybody but Sony Michelle, please.
Thank you.
I don't know if Jerry likes Sony Michelle, but I definitely don't.
Not at all.
Okay, good. Day three, I was just actually kind of thinking about, since we were talking about Golden Tate, I think a really good replacement if we were to move on from Golden Tate next year and maybe think about replacing him this year would be Richie James out of Middle Tennessee State University. That's a guy that's a very good slot receiver, very good athlete. If you just watch like a highlight video of his, and you'll come away just amazed at how quick this guy is, how great he is at the catch point. That's another guy that I really like, probably in the fifth or sixth round. So that would be pretty good value for a wide receiver. For
you're already jumping into day three there. I like it. Jerry, why don't you give us
three, right?
Okay, we were going to just start with day two, but you know what? You're getting ahead of the game. I like it. Jerry, why don't you give us some just day two guys?
All right. I'm with Reno. Stamp of approval on Nick Chubb. I won't go into, you know, details about that. He already pretty much covered it pretty well. So let's say our dream scenario pans out. We get Harold Landry, so we got that edge. You know, then round two, I'm thinking it's going to be a running back. It could be Johnson. It could be Chubb, et cetera, et cetera. So round three is still day two. We still probably want to look at the interior defensive line, possibly guard. So I got a couple of big bodies, both on the D-line. Nathan Shepard. Some people might say that's a reach in round three, but I think by the time the draft rolls around, he's getting a lot of good press, a lot of good mojo. He's from Fort Hays State. He's from Ajax, Ontario, Canada. I mean, the name alone, Ajax, Canada. He's a big guy. He's 6'5", you know, well over 300 pounds, but he has some pretty good pass rushing skills. He's raw, but, you know, they're saying with the right coaching and, you know, a little bit of tutelage, if you will, he could be a force. So that would be a guy I like, you know, possibly, you know, at the back end of day two. Another guy I like is Tim Settle, defensive tackle from Va Tech. He's big as well. He's like 6'3", probably like a good 340. But again, he's really big. And so you would say he's a nose tackle, and he can play nose, but he's shown some pass rushing skills. Kind of reminds you of Dontari Poe a little bit, just in terms of, you know, Poe's a really big guy, but he's adequate as a pass rusher. He doesn't have to play nose guard, nose tackle. He can play three tech. So those are just a couple names that stick out to me. Two guys, if we look at edge early and running back early, round three, Tim Settle and Nathan Shepard. I think the Lions had a visit scheduled for Nathan Shepard as well. So it seems to be some interest from them as well.
Yeah, and I know that Tim Settle is definitely one of Lions Twitter's favorite kind of day two, day three guys. So I think that is a name to definitely keep an eye on too. Ryan, your turn. Give me a day two guy that you're interested in.
All right. I got a couple of them. We talked about Justin Reed and the need for a contingency plan at safety. I think that the Lions, they've met with this guy. He has some value, I think, later on in day two as a third round pick. But Marcus Allen out of Penn State, the safety, I mean, he looks like a linebacker, but plays like a safety. He would be the perfect fit for a Matt Patricia defense. You know, he can work near the line of scrimmage. He's big enough, you know, to cover and stay with tight ends. He's got some good measurables. I like Marcus Allen out of Penn State. I think that he would be a good addition later on, I think, on day two. Another guy, if he's there, this draft is so thin on you know, three tech defensive tackles that I think that it's going to require the Lions, if they don't take one in round one, if they pass on the Taven Bryans and the Mo Hurst of the world, they're probably going to have to take one on day two if they want to get one. Another guy that I haven't really heard mentioned yet is Derek Nandi out of Florida State. I think potentially he might be able to get some pass rush out of him, even though he may be a little bit undersized and maybe even might end up playing as a nose tackle. Like, he's one of those guys who has like some pass rush ability. So I think that he could still have some value for, just a defensive tackle in Patricia's system. So I think those two guys, Florida State, Derek Nandi, and Penn State's safety, Marcus Allen.
It's interesting. we've talked for months now about how deep this interior offensive line class is, yet none of you guys named a guy in day two or three where the Lions could probably still get a starter. Is that just because we've kind of already exhausted the names at the top of the draft? Or do you guys maybe not necessarily agree that this draft isn't as deep at the guard position as kind of advertised?
I want to say just real quick, I think what's happened with the interior offensive line position is that there have been so many like late risers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think almost widely across the board, I think everybody agrees that Quentin Nelson is the best player in the draft. And right now I'm taking night school to try to figure out how to Photoshop a bong mask with Quentin Nelson in it on draft night. If we can get him down to 20.
Old Laramie Tunsil treatment.
The old Laramie Tunsil trick. It's the oldest trick in the book.
That'd be nice.
But like a lot of these guys have just moved up from being day two guys. Like Will Hernandez was a day two guy until probably like the early, like once we got past the combine. Isaiah Wynn, another guy who just climbed up people's draft boards. Frank Ragnow, a guy who's now getting talked about at like the end of the first round. James Daniels, right, Billy Price, like all. I know all these guys won't make it, you know, into the first round. But at the same time, if you look at a lot of these teams that are drafting near the bottom of the first round, they're like legitimate teams that have like needs at that position. And maybe because there is so much depth and maybe there are so many other positions that go before them that like those are just like the next best player available at the position of need for teams that are like, you know, in a playoff mode, you know?
Right. And this kind of brings me back to my point that I think I made a couple of weeks on the podcast is that there are so many of those players that seem to be late risers that, you know, it seems to be there's 40 to 50 first round talents that I just don't see a way in which the board falls poorly for the Lions in the first round. I know I'm getting back into first round talk here, but I just, based on a couple of the mock drafts I've participated in, based on looking at the team needs of the players ahead of the Lions and looking at the depth that the positions of need for the Lions, I don't see a position where the Lions are sitting at 20 and we're just like, I don't know who they're going to take. There's no one left. You guys agree?
I've played around. I agree. I've played around with that as well. I did like this little thing, like a little list where I pretty much, I named about 10 guys that there's nowhere they're going to be there at 20. So like, you know, Bradley Chubb and Saquon Barkley, and included in that was a couple of quarterbacks, and I added like another quarterback or two. So it was like 12 guys I know that the Lions won't have a shot at or they don't want. And so it left me with like, you know, 8 slots to go. And like you said, Jeremy, there was legitimately like 10 guys still I'd be more than happy with, you know, Mo Hurst, Taven Bryan, Harold Landry. They all won't be there at 20, but like I kind of X'd off 10 spots I don't have to worry about. And there was still like 10 guys there at 20 that I'd be happy with. So I'm with you on that, man. I think someone's going to be there. I don't think it's going to come down to that disaster scenario, Justin Reed thing, like I was saying. So yeah, I'm with you. Someone's going to be there at 20. We're going to get a good player, or at least a player that many of us like or feel comfortable with.
I can mention one other guy's name that I think would be a legitimate day two talent for the Lions on the interior line. And that's Austin Corbett out of Nevada.
Oh yeah.
He seems to be a guy that isn't like, he isn't kind of breaking that ceiling of the first round. He's like firmly places like, yeah, he'll be a day two guy for sure. I would be more than thrilled if the Lions ended up with him in the second round. And to speak to Jerry's point of kind of messing around with, you know, whatever mock draft simulator we've been doing, it's funny how many times I've ended up going offense with two of like the first three draft picks when that's just not really how I want things to happen. But like, that's just, I feel like what this draft kind of provides.
Guards and running backs, right?
Yeah. And that's usually like, I feel like that's always like the best value on day two is like guards and running backs. So that's just how things are falling. And just so, and it just so happens that the Lions have some needs at those positions. So I think good things are going to happen.
All right, let's move into day three. Let's talk some sleepers. Let's talk some guys that you have crushes on that maybe no one else knows about. He's your guy. You don't really want to give up his name in case any other teams are listening. And let's be honest, there are probably at least 30 other teams listening to this podcast right now.
Absolutely.
Easily.
Jerry, give me a draft cuss. Give me a sleeper that might be there in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. I know the Lions don't have a sixth round pick, but I'm guessing they will by the end of the draft.
I got a couple names. One, you know, maybe fifth round ish, kind of in that area. And then I got a theory on seventh round, something I would probably do if I was a GM. So we're gonna start off with that guy, you know, maybe in the fifth round area. Now, let's say we don't bring in that edge guy that we kind of hope to, you know, Landry isn't there, and we, you know, first few rounds, we got our guards and we got our running backs and maybe a defensive tackle. We still want someone that can get after the quarterback. Take a flyer on Javon Roland Jones, man. I think he's been talked about on Pride Detroit. So it's not like a new name. I'm not breaking down anything or a guy you don't know about. There's been some rumor interest between the Lions and him. I think there was even a pretty good article on Pride Detroit about him. But, I mean, the production is there. 13 sacks last year, 19 tackles for a loss. Consistent guy. He's not the biggest, but I kind of want one of those type of guys for the Lions. We often get the bigger defensive ends, you know, if it's Ziggy Ansah or Kerry Hyder or even Jason Jones a few years back. I want a slender edge type guy, man. I want one of those. I don't care if he's just a third down specialist, like a Bruce Irvin or kind of like when Vic Beasley first came out. I kind of want one of those speed guys, a specialist type guy on our team. So if we don't address it early, Javon Roland Jones, Arkansas State's a guy to look at. And then for my seventh round, this is my theory. It's a seventh round pick. I'm not saying it doesn't matter. But what I am saying is this is a chance to take a flyer on a guy. Like, you know, the year Leo Collins was available, you know, if you're sitting there in the seventh round, he's only there because of, you know, character issues or LeGarrette Blount or like a guy like Randy Gregory if he fell. Now, I'm naming a bunch of guys. Only a few of them actually panned out, really, LeGarrette Blount. But my theory is you take a chance on a guy who's talented, but for whatever reason, you know, oftentimes character or injury, he falls. He falls far. And so you take a chance on him. It's a low-risk thing, in my opinion, because if he doesn't pan out, it's a seventh-round pick. So for me, I'm looking at wide receiver. I mentioned this guy to you all yesterday in our little group chat is Antonio Callaway. He didn't play last year, but the year before, he's a wide receiver out of Florida. I like him, man. He's one of those guys that makes people miss. He could play in the slot. You know, he's one of those shifty guys, ran like a 4.44 40. I'm not saying he's a Tate replacement. He's not exactly like Tate. He's a little faster, a little quicker. Doesn't have as sure of hands, but he does give you that element. So let's say we're taking a flyer on a guy this year, someone that maybe could potentially play in the slot. Now, he just had, I don't know if it was a son or daughter, he had a child that was just born. Supposedly that's changed him, and he's, you know, he's reformed, et cetera, et cetera. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But the rap sheet is long.
We saw what having a kid did for Matthew Stafford and Eric Ebron.
Right, exactly.
I don't know if having a kid changes like sexual assault issues. I don't see him being on our board, but I agree that he's a really good talent. I think that might be an iffy one for me though.
It's a risk. It's a risk for sure. There's definitely a lot of. I mean, he's got a rap sheet, dude. But
yeah,
I don't know. I take a chance in the seventh on a guy that talented.
He's a good player.
And to go to Roland Jones really quick, we're talking about a guy who has back to back 13 sack seasons. So yeah. I see no problem in taking kind of a late round flyer on a small school guy like that who is unbelievable. I mean, he had 7.5 sacks. That was his worst year out of 4 years. So someone with production like that, yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense to take a flyer on late in the draft. Reno, you got a couple names for us?
Yeah. So I already mentioned Richie James, who I like for like a golden place for golden Tate replacement. I also like for a running back, maybe I like Ryan Nall out of Oregon State. He's your Zach Zenner White running back. That's really good, except actually better than Zach Zenner. And I mean, what about Arden Key? I mean, he's fallen pretty far. I mean, what if he falls down to the fourth round or something?
I was just thinking about that myself.
Yeah.
He's a guy that certainly has more than one red flag. And but yeah, that talent would certainly be tempting in the third or fourth round. I just get the feeling if he falls that far, it's because teams have taken him completely off the board.
That's kind of one of those situations, yeah, where you just he just keeps falling and you don't know why or something, I guess. Another guy I like, and really I would like to get any linebacker that's pretty athletic in the later rounds if we can. I know Kent is a huge fan of Gennard Avery. That would be a great addition. I think there's a few other guys that I like. Maybe like a Christian Sam out of Arizona State. Not as athletic, but a pretty good linebacker. I think Bob Quinn is definitely looking for like another kind of like inside linebacker, maybe somebody that can cover. And another guy that nobody has mentioned that I thought, I mean, he's been mentioned by every other Lions fan, I feel like, is Shaquem Griffin, because of his great story and his athletic ability and his ability to rush the passer. What do you guys think about him?
I mean, it's definitely a great story, and I think the talent is there. I don't think he's going to slip that far. I think
really
we're talking – I do. I think teams will not only get caught up in the story, but I do honestly think that, you know, the one-handed thing, it hasn't really inhibited all of that much. It's obviously going to be some sort of problem, but not – I mean, he's been dealing with his entire life. He knows how to compensate, and I think the talent on tape is there enough where I think a team takes him in the fourth round at the latest.
Hey, Jeremy, we're kind of in the T-shirt business, right, prior to Detroit?
Yeah.
Now, if we drafted Nick Chubb and then Griffin, would Chubb and Nub be an offensive shirt
or affectionate? Jerry.
I'm just curious.
We'd have to run that by Shaquem himself, I think, before we put that up.
It's like an affectionate thing, man. You know, not like disrespectful. Just checking.
Ryan, we're running up against the break here. Can you give me one or two names?
Yeah, for sure. Alex kind of stole my thunder with Avery from Memphis. I just want to point out one statistic about him. His senior year, he had 80 tackles. 22 of them were for a loss, which ranked top 10 in the FBS, including 8.5 sacks. So, I mean, he's a guy who I think would be a perfect target in the fourth round. I mean, 6'1", but he's 255. Like, I mean, I feel like that's right up Patricia's alley for a big linebacker. Just real thick lower body, strong side linebacker, has a lot of special teams, ability that I think that would really kind of be an attractive thing for Bob Quinn. And then the one other guy is RJ McIntosh from Miami. Yep. For Pro Football Focus, they have him ranked as like their fifth interior defensive lineman. I mean, they have him in front of like your Tim Settle. They have him in front of BJ Hill. Harrison Phillips. Like, I mean, he's ranked just below Taven Bryan. So he's a guy who he's one of those guys though, like how I talked about, you know, these three techs are so scarce in this draft. But at the same time, he's a guy who I think a lot of people agreed he came out after his junior season and people just think that he still hasn't really like grown into his body all the way. So there's a lot of like Play-Doh with him. Like he's a guy who's going to have to take like a lot of molding and probably won't be so ready as his first year, but McIntosh might be a guy that would definitely be a target early day three.
Why did I just
all right? That'll rip. Oh, sorry. I'm go sorry. Ahead. Get I one just, more thing in here.
When he said the molding, I don't know why I just pictured like Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn like in that scene in Ghost where they're molding that potter. I just pictured them like molding McIntosh into like this beautiful player. Man, he's spinning around. They're just molding him. Like that was a good description, Ryan. I'm about to look that guy up now.
I'm glad I sold him.
All right, that'll do it for our sleepers segment. When we come back, it's mailbag time. We're going to get silly in here.
Mail time.
Mail's here.
Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail.
All right, we are back here on the Pride of Detroit podcast. It's time for the mailbag, as you heard from our theme song. But before we get into that, let's hit on our last two reviews. Guys, we're out of reviews. I'm not going to say I hate you guys, but I am a little disappointed. Our first review, though, comes from Ryan Toledo, which is kind of like a portmanteau of this podcast. We got Ryan. We've got Chris's hometown of Toledo. He gives us 5 stars. He says, the California Lions podcast. Adequate sense of humor with a realistic look on lines from some fans that feel all the same emotions as their listeners. Ryan Jeremy and Chris hold it down well. Get Brett and Kent on more. No more wrestling, please. Love when you all run off on random topics. Apparently, except for wrestling. What about the love for Jerry and Alex? Are they not around enough?
I'm offended.
Probably never heard of me.
He probably thinks I'm Jerry Reisman, so whatever.
Alex, I think this is the most you've ever talked on a podcast, by the way.
Fuck you.
Chris, is that you?
That's not true at all.
It was a compliment. Take it as a compliment. Thank you, Jerry. Our second review comes from Samson2, who says, "Alrighty then, 5 stars. Words. Good job. 2 thumbs up. All right.
Alrighty then, or alt-righty then? Which one? I need.
Those are two very different messages.
Yeah, it's kind of important. I know.
All. ALL.
All right. Cool.
All right, let's move on to the mailbag. We're going to kind of have a brief mailbag session, mostly because you all asked about draft stuff that we already talked about, also because we went a little long early. So let's start off with something that's not draft-related, just because we need a little break in the monotony here. And against my better judgment, I'm going to talk about superhero movies, even though I don't want to. Ryan Kohler asks, how excited are you guys for Infinity War? Good way to break up the offseason.
Well, I mean, it's during the draft, so there's no way I'm going to see it opening day because I'll be hanging out with you guys. But I'm pretty darn excited about it. I think the trailer looks amazing. I think it's just going to be a lot of fun, man. Are you guys going to watch it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I'm kind of grown weary or tired. It's just so many superhero movies, man. But I'll definitely see it. I'll probably see it within the first week. This one's kind of cool. We know some people are going to die. So I'm looking forward to that, man. Just that's non-traditional. The good guys always win. So we're gonna see a few cool deaths. I'll definitely go and see it.
Jerry likes to watch people die.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that myself, but
yep.
What I got it's from really that cool. As well.
I still haven't seen the first Avengers, so I need to probably do some cramming. But to be honest, I think I'd rather watch NFL. I'd rather watch draft day with you guys in a hotel Friday night.
The movie
night.
Or the actual draft day?
No. Kevin Costner.
This just seems to be too many personalities in one room, right? Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Too many cooks.
Are you talking about Avengers?
Yeah. Well, now because they're throwing in Guardians of the Galaxy in this one, it's just like I don't know how Chris Pratt and what's his name Iron Man fit in one room without just like trying to step over each other.
Yeah, I think that speaks to Jerry's point though. Like we're gonna kill some of those people off so that we have room for them for the next film that comes out in like 3 years.
Extend it out. They have a very Black Panther centric trailer rolling now. They're trying to you know live off that steam. Black Panther so many. You know, made so much money. I don't think they probably had that trailer in mind. I saw one this past day or so. It was very Black Panther centric. They're trying to get up, you know, some of that mojo, man.
They're doing some like Gil Scott Heron and like just trying to make it as Afrocentric as possible.
Yeah, they're trying to live off the mojo, man. That movie sold a ton. But this one's going to sell, man.
Think it's going to break records?
I think it will. I think it has to.
Ugh. All right, let's continue going off draft, and then we're going to jump back into draft right after this. Jack H. on Pride of Detroit asks, is Bob Quinn an Elvis guy or a Beatles guy? Only two types of people in this world. So first, I want you to say what you think Bob Quinn is, and then I want you to give me what you are. Elvis or Beatles guy? Don't be shy.
I can go. Here, let me talk. First of all, I don't think that it's true because we haven't had a Wally's World in a while, but Wally just went to Graceland, but he's also a huge Beatles mark. So I think Bob Quinn strikes me as a Beatles guy. I think Bob Quinn might be a little bit of a musical aficionado. And then on top of that, I'm definitely a Beatles guy. Elvis was a fraud.
This is dangerously close to our our Prince or who's Prince or MJ conversation?
Like, can we not talk about that? Please, let's not get into that.
Jerry and I are in the same room right now, and we've gotten along this entire podcast. So no,
I feel bad. I feel a little bad for Ryan. I don't think we want to gang up on him as well. So,
all right, fine. Jerry, why don't you hit us with some Beatles versus Elvis takes?
All right, I think Bob Quinn is a Beatles guy. He strikes me as a guy that appreciates some of the musical acts from Britain. I could see him listening to Radiohead, maybe a little bit of Coldplay, et cetera. So, you know, the early Brit pop. He's a Beatles guy. Me personally, I like Elvis a little bit more, man. I kind of like that old school, that good old American music. A little Elvis, a little Roy Orbison, et cetera, et cetera. It reminds me a lot of the older guys that I work with. I'm in a field where there's a lot of guys like over 50 and in their 60s that I work with, and they give me that Elvis vibe. So I'm going to go with Elvis over the Beatles personally. Hmm.
Reno, I know you're one of the young guys. Do you know who Elvis and the Beatles are?
All right, old man. I just want to say, first and foremost, I'm glad that Chris isn't here. I know he's listening right now, but I just didn't want to listen to like a 20-minute rant about the Beatles from him. I'm a Beatles guy. I think Bob Quinn is a Beatles guy. I'm also a Radiohead guy. Thanks, Jerry.
Yeah, Radiohead's pretty good.
And I just have to get in here that I'm also a Beatles guy. I don't know what Bob Quinn is, but my mom would kill me if it got back to her and heard that I was an Elvis guy, which I'm not. So,
oh, yeah, and Elvis is a fraud. Ryan's right.
Elvis is a fraud. Okay,
cool. Yikes, that's harsh, man. Radiohead's coming to town July, Reno. I know you know that. We're just going to hold our own little conversation here for a second. All right, carry on.
Let's move back to some draft talk. We talked a little bit about Lorenzo Carter, but let's see. I had a question and I lost. Oh, there it is. Brian Simpson asks, do you think Lorenzo Carter is a good fit for the Lions at 20th overall?
Wow. I kind of mentioned him earlier, but I think that might go in with the kind of best case, worst case that we briefly touched on earlier. I think he would be kind of closer to the worst case there, because I just think there's way too many people that are going to be available. Like we were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. running mock drafts and having like 10 guys that we would be happy with. I don't think Lorenzo Carter would be one of them, but I guess I wouldn't be that upset because, I mean, he does fit a huge need. He's super athletic. It's just I don't know if he's going to bring that production year one, and that's kind of a lot of what you're looking for the 20th pick.
Right, and I think the reaction to that pick wouldn't be, oh, God, Lorenzo Carter's bad. It'd be like, oh, God, we skipped on so-and-so. Because right. someone, like you mentioned, someone's going to be on the board there that I think everyone is going to want. And the list is probably going to be two or three names deep before you even think about Lorenzo Carter.
Yeah, my thoughts exactly. He wasn't one of those when I mentioned, like, there's another 10 to 12 guys that, you know, will be there at 20, a good two or three of them. He wasn't one of the guys. He's a good player, but I just think there'll be better guys. Wynn, Hurst, Brian, one of those guys would be there, and I'd rather have them over Carter.
Man, there's a lot of good Georgia players, though, this year. A lot of players.
Besides Sony Michel.
Besides, thank you.
Let's see. This guy, 1225, asks, why are people on POD obsessed with drafting defensive end when the real issue is defensive tackle?
What?
Hey, look, I've been thumping for a three-tech defensive tackle for months. Since
this was a softball for you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I remember Facebook Lives after Lions games and talking to you while I'm trying to figure out where the parking garage is. Like, defensive tackle is such a huge need, especially like a three tech. But at the same time, don't let the fact that the Lions, like, defensive ends right now are like not bad. Like, don't let that. Don't let that leave an impression on you that the Lions are set up like long term at that position either. Like, Ansa's on the franchise tag. Who knows if Anthony Zettel can put together an entire season? Is Kerry Hyder going to be 100% healthy from a torn Achilles? And even then, he was a guy who kind of had like an Anthony Zettel year the year that he played too. So, or the year that he kind of emerged. So, defensive end is definitely a need. Like, they're like 1A and 1B in terms of like what the Lions need. As far as like a defensive player, but like, who cares? Just draft somebody.
Just draft a defensive lineman.
draft either position.
Yeah, we need them both. I think it's a depth thing too. There's more, you know, viable defensive tackles that we could realistically see, you know, in round 2, 3, or 4 contributing. We just talked about Tim Settle, Matt, this McIntosh guy, Nathan Shepard, Mo Hurst might fall, Harrison Phillips. I mean, that's 4 or 5 guys that we can draft somewhere other than 20 that we'd probably be happy with. Then that defensive end, you're looking at probably Landry or Davenport. And then once you go to those later rounds, it's just not as much depth. So I think people are focusing on defensive end in the first round because there's some decent depth for a defensive tackle.
I'm with you guys completely. I think edge rusher is just as big of a need, if not more so, than defensive tackle. The Lions just don't have – I don't think they have a starter on the roster in 2019 right now. And that's huge. That's one of the most important positions on defense. So I don't understand the scoffing at defensive end as a big need. I think it's a huge need. Let's go to, oh boy. Sit on my face with 3 C's asks Isaiah Wynn or Will Hernandez. This is an interesting question. Cause I feel like, early in the draft process, Will Hernandez was that dude behind the Notre Dame guy. But now Isaiah Wynn's kind of crawled up into that first round talk. Is there any of you that would take Isaiah Wynn over Will Hernandez?
Wynn. Yes. I don't even think it's close, really, to be honest. Really? Hernandez is big and powerful, and he had a good combine, but I think Wynn is by far a better prospect.
I think it's close. I'm kind of still on that recency bias where I was watching Isaiah Wynn just play out of his mind during Senior Bowl practices with an injury. I think it was like a torn labrum or something.
He's a beast, man.
I mean, that was crazy. I mean, I think we're looking for I think he's a slightly more athletic guard. I think we're looking for a more athletic guard at left guard. Normally I'm partial to the guys that are just absolute brutes down there, and that's what Hernandez is. So I would pick Wynn slightly over Hernandez, but I would be pretty happy with both because I think Hernandez is an absolute beast as well.
I think Wynn is just the much more polished prospect in terms of technique and everything. So he's far more, I think, NFL ready from a pass pro standpoint than Hernandez is. That's not saying that Hernandez can't do that. But I just don't think that for the value that Hernandez gives you over Wynn in terms of run blocking, that would supersede Wynn's value as a pass protector.
How much weight do you guys put into Wynn? Because he played 1 year of guard. He looked good at guard during the Senior Bowl, but he's mostly played tackle at Georgia. How much weight do you guys put onto that?
I think Bob Quinn would love that. I mean, he has positional versatility out to tackle, so he can play guard and tackle viably. I mean, I think that's just an added bonus.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a good thing.
I want to ask Jerry, how much value do you put in what Alex just said? And then how much value do you put in the fact that, you know, Will Hernandez has a neck roll?
Well, the neck roll probably moves Hernandez up a few notches. Anytime I play Madden, if I ever create someone, especially on defense or offensive line, they always have a big, huge, protruding neck roll. So that's definitely key. I'm not like crapping on Hernandez. I do like him too. I just think Wynn is like, he might be like more in like a top 15 talented guy, but the fact that he plays guard, he'll probably be there at 20. So, I mean, if Wynn's gone and we draft Hernandez, I'd be happy. I just think Wynn is quite a bit better. I think Hernandez is closer to your James Daniels of the world type guys. And Wynn is like solidly at number 2. You got Nelson and you got Wynn. And I think there's a group of guys there, you know, Ragnow, Price, Hernandez, kind of in that 3 spot.
I want to say real quickly, Jeremy, we missed an opportunity, I think, with Breaking Tea. We could have had a great t-shirt developed for them. Everybody who is complaining about the Lions winning quote unquote meaningless games, like the game against the Packers, like we could have just made t-shirts that were that just said win for win.
Win for win.
You're on top of it. Jesus.
Yeah. You know what? You're right. Oh, well. All right. I think that's going to do it for our podcast. We don't really do closing out things when Chris is hosting, but I wanted to give a thanks for Reno and Jerry to make some time in their busy schedules to join us. Thanks for joining us, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a pleasure, man. Hope to come back soon.
Yeah, we'll have you back soon. And I'll see you guys in like a week.
Yeah, man. Gonna be great.
I'm gonna take a shower for you guys.
Oh,
get all clean.
Gonna wear just a towel.
Wear my Lions towel.
Thank you for listening to the Fried Detroit POD cast. We are on iTunes and Stitcher. Our main theme was produced by Ryan Shepherd. You can find him on Twitter and on SoundCloud at I am Brian Shepherd, IamBrianSheppard. Thanks a lot to him. Check out his stuff. He's been great. He gave us Victory Monday, so go check him out. That's I am Brian Shepherd. And thank you for everyone who keeps listening and makes us one of the greatest Lions podcasts possible. Y'all are awesome. See you star side.